God's laid on my heart to do a series about sonship. And obviously God is doing deep work. Just something I realized when we're in the presence. And Simone took net, she just wanted to share something. I didn't have time for it just now, but just of God's presence. And I don't know the full extent, so I'm not going to try to elaborate. But what I want to do want to say about God's presence is that when we have these moments, reality hits and healing comes. It's like Edna said, she had to have that moment with her horse whisperer where healing came. But sometimes God's presence is something we need to face. Sometimes I speak of it as very fondly, as very amazing, as so awesome. Yet for some people, there's some stuff that really hurts, and it's tough to face God's presence sometimes. I'm not even talking about sin. It's not a sin conscious thing. So please hear my heart. It's healing. It's truth. Something is maybe tugged or hurt so deeply that to get into God's presence and just to face Him is quite a task. And that brings me to another thing that you wanted to share or shared with me privately quickly, is that many times we've taken offense with God and we need to go face His presence. It's got nothing to do with my sermon intro. But I just felt, maybe let's quickly share that. God, give us the liberty to go face Him, face His presence through Christ. Because in that, healing will start. In that process will start. So God is obviously digging deep, and I'm enjoying it. And we're talking about sonship. Last week, it was a bit of a weightier subject. We spoke around slavery and sonship, where they many times opposed to one another, slavery and sonship. And I used the analogy, and we looked at Egypt, etc., etc., but we're not going to get stuck into that. If you can go to the next slide, Ryan, thanks. What is sonship? It's just walking in a new identity, destiny, and authority that we have as sons of God. Biblical sonship is a position in the Spirit reserved for those who have God as their Father. Very simple. And as I said, please don't, if it's your first time here, don't get a fright. It's not a gender bias. It includes daughters. We just refer to it as sons. So daughters, you're sons. Sons, I'm not sure if you're daughters, but you're all sons. You're all brides some other time. So anyway, don't get confused. It's not a gender biased. Please don't report and please don't put anything on Facebook. It includes both genders. It's a heart condition. It's a position before God. It's what? It's about knowing Him as Father. Having the Spirit, we're going to look at that today, that says, Abba, Father. Good Daddy. Like a Papa. I actually have nicknames for God. I'm not going to share it. It's not, Stephen will laugh here. It's just in prayer sometimes, when I'm in a deep prayer with God, I'm not being funny or blasé, or I'm not going to be hit, I believe, by a bolt of lightning, but I have a nickname for God. And in that moment, it's just that deep, deep moment where I'm like, we just know. Sorry, that's just maybe a bit overshare. But we just know. And that's not saying I'm not walking in the fear of the Lord. That's not saying I'm not knowing His name, Yahweh, God, I am. No, but there's a nickname as well where our hearts just connect so in the Spirit that I just know, man, I'm in the Holy of Holies now. But anyway, maybe not too much of that either. Quickly on slavery, I love this. I don't know Johann there too well, but I do like this quote. None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. Sometimes I think as Christians we believe in Jesus, but yet there's so much slavery still in our mindset and heart that we don't live a full sonship life towards God in many, many areas of our lives. So last week we just say, hey, let's take stock. Lord, where am I still thinking like a slave? Where do I want to perform for You? Where do I want to try to bend Your arm? Where am I not just walking in this true identity as a son or a daughter? This week we want to look at the Holy Spirit in context of sonship. So the Holy Spirit, one of my favorite persons, one of my favorite friends, part of the Trinity, obviously. But today we're going to look at the Holy Spirit and sonship. Just quickly, what is sonship? What is sonship for me? Just in my own words, I think sonship is it's the way it was supposed to be from the beginning. If sin didn't come into the world, Adam and Eve was created by God to what? To fellowship, to have this relationship. And the best way I think God could have explained it after the fall, after sin came in, was to send his son, to teach us this new relationship. Personally, I'm not a theologian, so I say personally, that's what I think it was supposed to be. So that our relationship, our connection with God was supposed to be that we are sons and daughters. And just think of your own relationship with your mom, dad. If it was horrible, don't think about it. Think about something else. But if it was great, think about it. Alternatively, with your daughter, your son. Think of that relationship. Just the essence of that. Just the emotions of that. I know it's a deep thing, sorry, but that's the reality and that's a picture God wants to show us. It's a picture God wants to paint us. And it's something we can't deny, even though there's been hurt, even though there's been hardship. It's still the picture that God paints for us. I also believe that every single person has an inherent need to belong. You might be the biggest rebel ever. You might think you're the coolest cool ever. Jy mag so taai soos tungsten wees. But you know what? You actually have this longing, this yearning to belong. We all have. Selfs Dwayne Vermeulen. En hy is groot. En hy het 'n rowwe baard. En hy tackle hard. But I can promise you, I don't know him personally, so please don't quote me. This is just, again, I love pictures. It's an analogy. Even Dwayne wants to belong. He belongs to the Stormers, praise the Here. But that's another sermon. He wants to belong. All of us. Even though if you look sorted, you've got the car, you've got the house, you've got the job, you've got the suit, you've got the contracts, you've got whatever. You want to belong. And I believe that's an inherent yearning from all of us, and one that all of us do have. Just want to belong, to be safe, to be loved, and even to be led. When I was in the world, I didn't want anybody to lead me. I wanted to lead. Funny enough, in God, I want to be led. In the simplest things, Lord, I need to buy a new car. Lord, lead me. I don't know. I'll probably stuff this up as well. Lord, lead me. And he does. Lord, I need a new pair of shoes. This is just very practical lifestyle. Lord, lead me. I love to be led. Does any of you guys struggle with to be led? Okay, cool. Daar's hierdie amazing kerk net so enkie aan. Nee, ek grap net. Dit's 'n grappie. Dis 'n regtige grappie. But it shows a very truthful thing, and that is our flesh nature is different than our spirit nature. The Holy Spirit comes and resides in us, and we want to be led, but we've been hurt many a times. Why are we spending time about the lashes of religion? Many times people lead and then they hurt. So the fact that your hand goes up, I believe, is not that God made you that way. It's just because you've been hurt, you've put up a wall, you've put up a facade, and you've said, I've been around the block, you have no idea what happens when you get led. You get led in your dingers and your... And unfortunately, that's many times the experience. But I don't believe that is a God experience. I don't believe that is the Abba Father's way of doing things. We're going to look at Jesus as an example today. So it's the word speaks for itself. God is a good Father. He leads to life and life in abundance. Stephen, jy dink baie diep. Ek het iets verkeerd gesê. Great, thank you, Stephen. Ons kan aangaan. Stephen is happy. Let's look at Scripture, Galatians 4. When the time came to completion, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. As sons. Now, up until that stage, a new God. God was the God of Israel, the God of the fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they knew God in many different ways. He was the God that led the nation of Israel. He was the God of the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here he comes and he sends a son. Whole different different thing. For us, it's so normal and partial of Christianity that God sent his son. Yet at that stage, they knew Moses, they knew the law, they knew that God was the God of Israel. It was much more formalistic, if I can put it in layman's terms. And so here he comes and he sends the Messiah as what? A son. It's almost a bit offensive, I think, to their tradition and their way of thinking. I'm not going to get too deep into that. So that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent, and here's our focus today, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, the Spirit of his Son, the same one that Jesus had, the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So up until that stage, they knew him as God, God of Israel. He was still the same God, by the way, so I'm not trying to paint a different picture. I'm just saying the way in which they saw him. God that led them out of Egypt, God of Israel, God of the nations, God that is I Am and Yahweh. But yeah, all of a sudden, it gets right back home. It gets right down deep and intimate. That God is now all of a sudden Abba, Father. It's like a baby or a small boy or girl would say, Abba, Father. It's like, man, there's just very few things. Like after a service, when Sophia would eventually be done by the cake, and somebody will just direct her in this direction, and she'll come into that door, and about a third way down, she spots me. It's just that dit begin het te beweeg. Ek wil nie sê waggel nie, want dit is bietjie rof. Dis sy's 'n klein lady, maar sy hart loop baie pikant, baie oulik. And she just spots me and she just comes running for me. And in that moment, I'm having a Abba Father moment. I'm like, man, this is amazing. Are you actually looking at me? Are you actually running towards me like that? Are you actually extending your arms? Is that affection actually for me? And it's just the most amazing feeling. So there was God of Israel, God of the nations, I Am, Yahweh. And now all of a sudden, he gives us the Spirit through his Son that says, Abba Father. And does a pikante klein hartloop to run into his arms. So he breaks down a couple of things that they might have thought up until that time. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. So we looked at slavery. Luckily for us, we're not going to look at it again. Let's look at the scripture. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so they might receive adoption as sons. So you were a slave, and then you get adopted. Who's the key here? Jesus Christ. Whenever I prepare for a sermon, it's probably pretty obvious, but you don't necessarily head in the direction of Jesus, yet you end up there every single time. It's just awesome. He is truly the way, the truth, and the life. So God sent his son to come and what? Take us out of slavery. And then we can share in his Spirit, the one that he had on him, the one that helped him. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. You see all three parties of the Trinity here. It's God, the Father, he sent his Son, and then you get his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Son. And unfortunately, what religion has done, and sometimes what people has done, is that God is the one that they talk to, and God is the only one. And others, yes, the Son is there, but don't have much to do with this weird other one that we can't see called the Spirit. God is fine, that fits in my box. Jesus, yeah, well, there's historical evidence for that. It fits in my box. The Holy Spirit takes me out of being in control. I need to surrender. It's about sometimes about feelings and experiences. Not in my box. So it's not here. In the scripture, we can clearly see they cannot be unconnected. And if they're unconnected in the story, then you've got a bit of a problem. We need all three. So where does it all start? Where does sonship start? We've seen it already, but where does sonship start? Very easy. Might be a very simple question, yet sometimes it's just good to remember it so that when the devil comes with a lie of your identity, you try to say, well, where's God now? That you know that I've got the key. I've taken the decision. I've got the key. And I am a son of a daughter of God. Where does sonship start? Yes, faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Relax, I'm all set. Asseblief, kalm meer. Ons wil hierdie venue nog hou, asseblief. Karismate daarom. Next slide, please. Born again experience. Faith in Christ. Very easy. Lord, am I a son or am I... Lord, are you born again? Do you believe in Christ? Have you given your life to the Lord? It's very easy to know. John 3:3-8. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're not saying we're enlightened or more spiritual or more sorted out. In fact, we're just broken vessels used by God. But do you think in many churches, maybe, there's people that sit there Sunday in, Sunday out, but yet they never see the kingdom of God? Unfortunately, and it's not criticism, it's with sadness that I do say that many people say, I go to church, I do this, I do that, I jump through hoops, yet I believe they don't see the kingdom of God. But how can anyone be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked him. We're not going to get into detail in this, but it's a very cool conversation they have there. Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Pretty weird. Pretty gross. Let's move on. Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone is born of water, that's natural birth, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So there's two births. You just need to be born. Hallo, hier so is ek. Retief, 32 en 'n bietjie jaar terug is ek actually gebore. Feite. And the second one. And the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. You must be born again. Who remembers that time, that moment when you were born again? Thanks, I was just checking. Otherwise, this sermon needed to change quite a bit. But the hands got up. Bit by bit. Sure, thank you. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from and where it is going. So is it with everyone born of the Spirit. Hey guys, you're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Hey guys, you're born of the Spirit of God. Did a sermon on it a while back. He who raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. Huh? Ralph staan hier voor die spieël in die oggend en sê, hey, you raised Christ from the dead. Nee, doe nie nie. Okay. Jy moet dit try, dis regtig amazing. Dis nie 'n joke, I don't do that, but I do believe that. And sometimes I don't, and then I get whacked. And I need to get back to a place of sonship and believe that again. Just another confirmation for anybody that's maybe still wondering. 1 John 5:1. I don't think it's up there. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Jesus is Lord. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Now that's where it starts. That's where sonship starts. Then that's where you turn the key. There, that's where you get access to this new relationship, to this whole new adventure. That's where your spirit gets born. That's where the fun starts. My question to you today is, even though the fun starts there, does it stop there? You might be wondering, well, what a strange question is that? But you'll see now why I'm asking. So, in our culture, in our Western culture, it's one thing saying, being going through a rough patch, somebody dragging you along to a charismatic bunch. You're singing, it's emotions, and then the Lord starts speaking to you and somebody says, is there somebody that wants to raise their hand and say, Christ, and I'm not making fun of the moment because that is sacred. There's a party in heaven. I'm just making a bit of fun of the process many a times. And then your hand just goes up and and a new life starts. You get born again. You walk forward. They give you a little book. They chat to you. And on Monday, now what? Now what? Somebody tells you, hey, you're a son of God. You're like, that is just freaking me out. Why is he saying that? It starts there and it's amazing. There's a party in heaven. There's a sacredness to it. So please, I do want to just confirm it. There's a sacredness to it and it is amazing. You're going to heaven. You've got a ticket. Sorted. But does it end there? Sonship for me didn't end there. Sonship started there. And I'm still walking it out today. Today we're talking about living sons or lifelong sons, as I might call it. And our scripture is the next one in Romans 8, verse 14, which I love. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, there's a continuation here. It's led by not those who stand at the starting line of the comrades will be seen as runners of the comrades. No, those who actually run the race. Those who take part in the, what is it, 89, 90 kilometer, I don't know. Philip? Next met Villani, so jy wil weet die. Okay, I understand. As ek het nie kan trap nie, gaan ek het nie doen nie. But it's far. I think it can indeed tell you that it is quite far. But you can't just cross the starting line. You need to do the race. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, let's quickly put it in scriptural context here and just read the verses above and below. Verse 12. So then, brothers, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, remember all of you guys that put up your hands said, I remember I was born again. I'm a son of or a daughter of God. Let's look at this scripture. So then, brothers, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You see, to be led by something, I said earlier, who wants to be led? Oops, shouldn't have asked that question. It wasn't planned either. God got you there. But to be led is to say, I submit, I lay down, I surrender. Now, sometimes that comes easy for me personally, and I like it, sometimes not. If God speaks to me directly through His Word or a rhema word to my heart or something in a vision, it comes easily. When God speaks through my wife, it ain't happening that easily. Just to her credit, many a times I'll be going through this thing, I'm working through this thing, and she just comes with a word of knowledge, or words of wisdom, true wisdom. Half, half, half. Sorry, that's a personal, weird, melkbos cell joke. They can tell you about it afterwards. And she'll come to me and she'll just shoot me straight. Like they'll say in Belleville, where I come from. She'll just shoot me straight, and I'm like, ach, no, ek wonder, ek sal gaan bid hier, and I'll think about it. I'll go and pray about it. And weeks and months will go, and I'll still be struggling with this thing. And then my accountability partner, a great friend of mine, will come over for a braai. And we will be braaiing, and I will explain the scenario to him and the situation. And he will verbatim repeat her words. And then the clouds break open, and the light dawns upon me, and the revelation hits my heart. And I'm like, yes. And I'll even go to her in the evening and I'll lay alongside her in bed and say, "Jy verstaan nie. Hy het vir my presies gesê wat ek moet doen. It's amazing." And I'll repeat it to her. And she will go like, "You remember I've told you this about six times in the last year." And then the conviction comes. And then I will apologize and repent, etc., etc. I'm making a lot of fun about it, but it is quite true, is that many a times God speaks through her. The Holy Spirit speaks through her. Do you want to be led by the Holy Spirit? Those who walk by God's Spirit, those who are led by His Spirit, will be called God's sons. In other words, the Holy Spirit will work in us a new nature of children. Jesus also said, unless you believe like a child, you can't enter the kingdom. So we become more childlike. So like in senility, we don't get senile. We just become more childlike. Not naive, but childlike. Faith like children. It all comes together. He sent His Son for us to be sons and daughters, but then we're going to see Him as Father. Just to recap, before we move on to our last point, we all want to be sons of God. There's an access key, and that access is Jesus. Ryan, you can go to the next slide if you don't mind. Thanks. The access is Jesus. But we said to each other, it does not end there. It becomes a day-to-day thing. Those who walk by God's Spirit, those who are led by God's Spirit, will be called His sons. And again, where do we look? Where do we look for answers of how to be led? Let me ask you. How do you experience to be led by the Holy Spirit of God? Anybody? It doesn't need to be right or wrong. Just a personal, practical experience. Yefra Demi, how do you practically get led by the Holy Spirit? Obey. Okay, cool. Before you obey, you need to hear. How do you hear? Word of God? Awesome. Sorry? I heard a renewed mind. Amen. I'm not looking for a right and wrong answer. I'm just saying, hey, this is practical day-to-day living. The small, quiet voice. Yes, the word. The word of reason. The voice of reason from Tani Rihanna. Yeah, inner conviction. For me personally, I believe about His peace resting upon a decision. His peace resting upon me saying, this is the way, walk in it, as the word says. I'll just know that that is the way to go. By that inner conviction or inner peace. Anything else? Dreams. Yes, yes. The word says, old men will dream dreams. Sorry? Fellow believers. This is musiek vir 'n pastoor se ore daai. Fellow believers. Fellowship. In other words, spending time with other people. Rasim Johan said, be careful. I once had to buy a new car. And I had this conviction, but it was a bit of a, as always with the Lord and myself, it was a faith leap for me to buy this particular vehicle. And I said, well, Lord, I'm going to be accountable. And He showed me, or just laid on my heart, three people that I should talk to. Say, hey, I believe God is saying this. Should I do it? Yes or no? I went and I asked three of them. But I went a bit further. I said, hey, God, don't worry about it. I'm even going to ask five people because then it's going to be so much better. Because I was actually not walking in faith but in fear. And so I went and asked five people. And the fifth guy, after I nagged him about three times to come back with an answer, he came back and said, well, you know what? Everybody wants new cars. I think it's lust. And I'm like, oh, that hurts. That hurts. You're a brother. You just shot me. Lusting after a new car. That is just, oh, that hurts. And I was so a bit offended until I realized, well, you didn't do what God said. He said, ask those three people. They gave me scripture and they gave me word and they said, yes, God backs you. He's your father. And this poor guy, I'm putting him on the spot. I'm expecting something from him, and when it gets to me, I'm offended. So it was just my own fault. But anyway, so yes, fellow believers, but let's be careful. Let's ask the Lord to lead us there. To be led by the Spirit. Jesus is the access to sonship. And then Jesus, I believe, shows us the way of sonship. Who else to ask than your big brother? Who else to ask than the first son there ever was? What was the manner, the technique, or the method that Jesus used? Very simple. And I'm going to back it up with scripture, like I ought to do. But what did Jesus do? What was the way in which he walked as a son on earth? How did he do it? He asked his Father. He prayed. We're going to look at it. He did and he said only the things that his Father led him to do. Now, in our culture, that sounds like slavery. But if you understand love, if you understand, I believe, if you've got the revelation of God as Father and seeing yourself as a son, seeing as a good father and not the one that wants to be a slave driver, it's much easier to trust. Quick testimony that I believe links with what Tani Rihanna shared earlier about unity and being spirit-led. Just what I believe is being spirit-led. God speaks to you. I was sleeping last night. Lo and behold, sleeping like a baby. It was great. This morning I'm preaching here, and then this evening in Cape Town in Garden. So it's a big day, trusting God for His Spirit to anoint me. The kids didn't wake up through the night. I didn't have to wake up. Alarm clock was set for 10 past 5 to get up and spend time with the Lord. Edna wakes me up at 4:30. Now, if you do the calculations, that's 40 minutes before my alarm clock goes off, before a big day. She wakes me up and says, "I've been in pain all night. I've got a stomach ache. Can you please pray for me?" My reaction, well, my manifestation of that was actually quite fine. But in my heart, it was like, "Wat het jy gedink? I need to get up in 40 minutes time. Why do you wake me up? The kids didn't come and wake me up tonight." And so I just pray for her, reluctantly. Thank you, Here. And pray. And she actually feels there's a bit of release. Now I'm tossing and turning. I need to get up now. And obviously, I don't get to sleep again. Now I've got a bit of a vorsteling in my heart. And then at last, when I get up at 10 past 5, I'm just about to leave the room to go down to go have my quiet time. She's like, "Remember to pray for me." I'm like, "What?" And then I give her just a short lecture about how big this day is that I need to do. And I have prayed for her, and I've been lying awake for 40 minutes. Now I go get my coffee, get all sorted out, get comfy, and I start spending time with God. But it just doesn't flow like it. It just doesn't flow. It's like, I can talk now. I'm not dear to the slop, as they say. But it is not like getting connected with God before a Sunday church. And I ask Lord for scripture. He gives me one scripture. I meditate on it. It's really a blessing to me. And then I say, "Lord, what else? What is on your heart?" Now, I ask for scripture. I usually just ask and I wait until I hear something in my heart. God, just show my imagination. Sometimes it's totally off, but most of the times it's quite on, and I know God is speaking through it. It's probably hit and miss, but that's the way I'm getting to know the Lord's voice. It's not always the way, but there was this morning. Just so that you can understand this method of my madness. And I sit there, and I'm like, "Okay, Lord, what else? Where in your script, what do you want to specifically say today?" I know what the sermons are, but what is on your heart? And he says to me, I just get in my imagination, 1 Peter 3:8 first, and I think, I don't see it, I'm just not peace. And then 7 pops up, and I'm like, yes, that's what God wants to say. And I'm all full of faith. Now, one of two of you that know your word start laughing. Now I need to look for it. I remember the context. And I'm like, "Okay, Lord, what's this revelation that you want to give me? You're going to just whack the people today in church. It's just going to be so amazing. Lord, thank you, God. Here's the answer to why I'm not experiencing you that amazing." And I'm like, 1 Peter 3:7. Cool. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with understanding of their weaker nature, yet showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Hectic. My personal rebuke gets the biggest applause in church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. guys, just remember that we edit this part out. No, I'm just joking. Being led by the Spirit is very simple. And then I just realized, even though I started to kind of forgive her, I just realized, Ratif, you're being selfish, you're being stupid. Pray. And I prayed, asked the Lord for forgiveness first, and then later on I went to her, and then my quiet time was much better. It was still not out of the park, but it was much better, and there was a flow to it, because God's word is true. And he says, and we don't have to get into the theology of that particular scripture, it spoke to my heart, that, hey, Edna suffered. She's feeling weak at the moment. Have understanding. It's not about you, Ratif. Have understanding. And you did not have that necessarily at the middle van die nacht. And, joke, ek het jou vergewe. And so I went to her and I repented. And I'm just back at peace with my God. I'm just back at peace with my dad. That's a very simple way of being led by the Spirit. And I'm going to close by just looking at Jesus quickly. How did Jesus do it? He did it as follows. John 5:19. Then Jesus replied, I assure you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does these things in the same way. Next scripture. By myself I can do nothing. That's very applicable to me as well. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. That's hectic. I know it's great and it's scripture and it sounds amazing, but it's a challenge to live that. It's a challenge to live that. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. What is this world shouting at us? What is our Western civilization shouting at us? Please yourself. You've got enough bucks. Please yourself. Have it your way. Don't be led. Lead. In a negative sense. Yet God says, hey son, if you love me, be led by me. And it's not to control you. It's to go on the journey. Ask Edna if our life is boring. Edna, is our life boring? Ek het gesê, jy moet so gaan. Nee, ek joke. See, that's leading. No, I'm joking. But our life is definitely not boring. You can ask me why, and I'll share the testimony about getting a house here in Sunningdale. It's not boring at all. In fact, we were having so much more fun than I could have ever tried being a lawyer. That fun could have led to death in various ways. This fun is just wholesome, good fun. John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. He came as his son to do the will of his Father. If I work in a big vineyard on a wine farm, and I work as a laborer, there's a certain heart condition, there's a certain mindset in which I will go into the vineyard and work. There's a certain mindset, I'll get on the trekker, or I'll get about behind the wheel of the Toyota Bucky, and there's a certain mindset. When is it 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whenever they can go home? Where's my pay? Where's this? Where? There's a certain mindset. Yet, if it's my father's farm and I'm a son in the house, there's a totally different heart in which I look at new crop, or which I look at. What is new driver?
New driver.
Ach, daar gaan die oomblik. But you know what I'm saying. There's a different way in which I get behind the trekker. There's a different way in which I look at what we're doing and going to taste the wine that is seriously not ready. There's a different way. There's a heart and a mindset that's totally different if this is my dad's farm. And hey guys, I just want to tell you, this is your dad's farm. And I'm not talking church included, but I'm not only talking church. This life story, even though things went a bit pear-shaped, God had to restore and make a new plan through his son. I just want to say, this kingdom that needs to come on earth, that's your dad's farm. What is his is yours. You know that big fridge in his kitchen? That's yours. You know that long table that's very quaintly put together with amazing food on it, that it can be on the Sari Kos of Rooirose Kos Editions front page? That's your dad's table. And the devil loves us to forget that and make it all dead works. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Next page, please. That was the things that Jesus did. Now, just quickly, the things that he said. In other words, what came out of his mouth. John 8:28. So Jesus says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, it's when he died on the cross, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. So he just did what his Father taught him to do, because he knew his Father intimately. He knew his Father's heart. John 12:49, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. Jesus is our access key. He is the door, he is the way to sonship. But he left us a blueprint of how to do that. He left us and said, hey, it's not a fact of getting the key, getting the ticket, you're going to heaven, and then chilling out. Trying to fight it your own way. Trying to battle survival of the fittest here on earth and do it the way the world does it. That was never the intention. He said, here's the key, here's the access, here's the door, come through. But now, here's the way. Here's the way in which you can do it. And it's Christ. And it's not just obviously summarized in those verses. It's summarized in here. And then, the Holy Spirit. It lives inside here. For each and every one of us that has been born again, it lives inside of here. And the Spirit of truth will come, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth will come and will guide you into all of the truth. All. As jy 'n kar koop, die waarheid oor kar koop. As jy 'n broek koop, die waarheid oor broek koop. If you've got troubles with your brother or sister, or you need money, or you don't have food, the Spirit will guide you into the truth of each and every situation as you choose to be led. And if you choose to be led, you will be a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Okay, relax. Nie so uitbundig lag en fees vier nie. I wanted to share being led by the Spirit opposed to what? And saying the way the world does it. But I think it goes without saying. We know when something is not Spirit-led. And at least if we ask, say, Lord, please help us, he says in his word, he will help us. Those who are led by the Spirit of God will be called his sons, will be his sons, will act like his sons. Remember the vineyard. Remember the farm. It's your father's. And I think we need not forget that. Let's pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you came to anoint us and help us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that Dian, you can have your moment. Sorry, guys, just check it out. Quickly check it out. Thank you, God. Sorry. God will understand. Father God. Okay. If you, in your heart, choose to run to God like that, do it. Because you can. Thank you, God, that you made it simple. Forgive us for sometimes making it so technical. God, I choose to be your son. I choose to be like a little Sophia, running to her father. Lord, in each and every one can make up their own minds and hearts of how they want to approach it, Lord. But I pray for your help. Pray, Spirit of God, that you will help us and enable us and free us up that we can do exactly that. Run into your arms. And as we choose, again in our hearts, make up our minds to be led, thank you, Lord, that you will lead. Again, there I want to challenge you. If you struggle with that, say to God, God, I struggle, but I do want that. Lord, I submit and lay down my life because I believe in your character, I believe in your word, and I believe that you're good. You gave your best so that I can share in this. You gave Jesus your son so that I can be a son or a daughter. But I choose today, if you choose today to be led by the Holy Spirit, raise your hand. Remember, we're not sure how it's going to fan out. We're not always sure. But believe you me, it'll be the best. Thank you, Father God. But this is just a commitment from our side. And now we ask, help us to be led by your Holy Spirit. Fill us, anoint us afresh, and lead us daily, Lord. Remind us to ask you, remind us to spend time with you. And then, Lord, thank you that we will encounter you. Thank you that we will encounter you. Thank you that we will encounter you. Thank you, Lord, that we will encounter you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome, guys. If you need prayer, please come afterwards and we pray around these things. If there's heavy stuff, come and share. Let's pray together.